You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, July 15th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, back from Europe, Cliff Schechter will be joining us. Also on the program, winding her way through the Green Mountains of Vermont, Isabel Gillies. Meanwhile, in Nice, at least 84 dead after a truck purposefully, deliberately zigzags through a crowd of people on a promenade in Nice, France, just after they had completed watching a Bastille Day fireworks show. Unclear at this point what the motivation of this killer was. Also on the program today, Donald Trump will hold off naming his VP today at 11 a.m. because of the Nice terror attack. I mean, oops, no, he won't. He flipped. He changed his mind. It's Mike Pence. More on that. The attempt to dethrone Donald Trump as the titular head of the Republican Party fails quite quickly at the, the pre-convention of the RNC. Tim Tebow on Facebook apparently did a video saying, hey, I'm not that crazy. I'm not going to, no way. They couldn't even get, Ted Nugent to show up. It could be just the whole Trump family. I wonder if they're just going to shoot this and maybe market it as an Osbournes type of thing. White House releases 2016 budget deficit numbers. All that and more today on the program. Again, let me just do, I think I mentioned this yesterday during the free show, but I wanted to mention again. This week, I want to apologize. I have not been 100%. I mean, I rarely am 100%. I'm usually like around 97%. I always keep 3% in reserve just in case. This week, though, I've been probably closer to 65%. Now, you probably don't notice that because you ingest other media. And even at 65%, I come across as basically being in the high 90s relative to other media. So you could watch, for instance, or listen to another podcast. They could be at 100%. I'm at 65%. I still sound like I'm at 100% to you. But if you only listen to this show, you've probably picked up on it. On Monday, I had some dental work. And apparently what I've been told is when they injected me with the Novocaine into like the crevice of my jaw, they hit some type of vein or artery or something, and they think that blood has seeped into my into the muscle joint or something. It's been incredibly painful for the past couple of days. It ebbs and flows. And the only thing that the good about it is that it took my mind off my back, which had seized up over the weekend. So I want to apologize for not being at totally 100%, or what for me is 97%. But, you know, what can you do? I'm a cuck. I keep getting called that on Twitter because apparently, now, you know, it's unclear. If you watched the news last night, this terror attack, and I don't know if this is an officially a terror attack. I mean, look, obviously it's terrifying. Obviously the guy who did this wanted to frighten people, but there's, I don't know what technically makes the distinction between like a mass murder spree and a terror attack. In my sense, a terror attack is in service of some type of ideology or agenda and an attempt to cripple a society in the furtherance of that ideology or agenda. It is not clear yet why this guy did it. There are stories coming out saying that there's no evidence that this guy was radicalized. The weapons cache that apparently he had in the back of the truck turned out to be fake. He had fake weapons and fake grenades in the back of this truck. It's perfectly rational to believe as the story came out that this guy had a truck full of bombs that just didn't go off, and he decided to take out as many people as possible, which then would have suggested that he was involved in a larger network. And of course, if you're involved in a larger network, then there's every reason to believe that this is a terror attack. None of that seems to be the case now. The guy has a history of domestic abuse and petty crime. He was an immigrant, I guess, as a young man from, I believe it was Tunisia. I don't know that he was a citizen, but he had French residency permit. It's according to the reports. So, you know, you got to wait and see, obviously, what the story is. But jumping to conclusions is problematic. And in other words, when you tell people, I wouldn't be so sure, you're a cuck. Do all these people just go, I mean, all these Sam Harris types, MRA types, because they seem to be exactly the same people. Gamergate, they all seem to be the same people to me. I don't know, maybe they're not, but...
Alienated males?
Yeah. Actually, not terribly dissimilar from the people who end up committing these crimes. But be that as it may, we will talk more about that with Cliff Schechter. And of course, we're also going to be talking about Mike Pence, the conventions, the platforms, the polls. First, though, let me remind you, now, earlier in the week, I guess it was like on Tuesday night, I went to do Hayes. And that's when the thing in my jaw started to hurt. I also find, though, that when I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a cold, that's when I like to shave. Because it makes me feel like I've got myself together a little bit. Because I don't like to shave. I mean, I don't think that's irrational. And the best thing I can say about that is that my shaving experience has radically changed. And I guess it was now like 2 years ago when I first met Harry's. Now, for far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low-priced but also low-quality razor. Harry's offers you something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Harry makes its own high-quality razors. They cut out the middleman. They ship them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. Good shave, good price. It's simple. Get the best of both with Harry's. Listeners, longtime listeners will recall, not only do I have a Harry shaver, I gave my dad one for Father's Day. I told him it was from Mila and Saul. Of course it wasn't. He knew it was from me. And he said to me the other day, like, hey, you know what? That was actually, it's a good razor. And I was like, well, yeah, I know. I wouldn't have given you a bad one. And he goes, well, all right. I mean, there was a sort of backhand criticism of me because I gave him a good razor for Father's Day. But be that as it may, he was impressed with the razor. Even though he sort of implied I just coincidentally or didn't know what I was doing and gave him a good gift. The Harry Starter Set, called the Truman, is a great option for new customers, and it's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with the promo code MAJORITYREPORT. Go to harrys.com right now. Look for the Truman Set. That's Harry's, HARRYS.com. Enter code Majority Report at checkout. Get $5 off. You're helping to support the show. You're getting a great razor. You're developing a relationship with a company where you get great razors at a great price. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. All right, going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. And that means we sit back and we listen to this song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schecter, Libertas LLC.
Now, before we get to Cliff Schecter, we also now need to add this theme song as to why he wasn't here last week. Cliff, are you out there? Cliff?
Hello?
Wait a second. Cliff, are you out there?
I am out here somewhere. I'm having trouble hearing you right now because of that glorious music.
So, Cliff Schecter, you weren't with us last week because you were actually in Great Britain. Is that right?
I was. Interesting times there. I was there as they were picking a new prime minister, which was fascinating to watch. In I have to say, an orderly kind of way that was interesting, you know, to see democracies do that. I was there while Wimbledon was going on, so it was interesting. But the big thing, which I think is why you're playing that fantastic music, is that, as people on the show who listen to when I come on Friday know, I do a lot of work on gun violence prevention. And it turns out this fantastic dude that I first saw, at least on the big screen, when I was 5 years old, I can still remember my dad taking me in 77, to Star Wars. His name is Mark Hamill. People are probably familiar with him. He's a fantastic guy who's very passionate about ending the uncontrollable scourge of gun violence in this country. And so we got to know each other a little bit. And he professionally and sending emails and stuff. And then out of nowhere, he invited me and asked me if I wanted to bring my kids, especially to come tour the studio as they were filming Star Wars 8.
Oh, my God.
My first response was, we're Americans, right? Are you kidding me? And my second one was, screw my kids, I'm coming.
Right.
I'm just kidding, folks, of course. Sort of. So we had been thinking about when was it going to be our first trip out of the country. I used to, you know, I studied abroad a few times. I used to spend much more time out, but we've got young boys. I know, Sam, you know what it's like to have young kids and travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere between sometimes the seventh and seven and a half circle of hell.
Right.
But they were actually pretty good, and they're getting there. And so we went, and it was pretty amazing. We had to sign NDAs, non-disclosures, for everything we saw.
I love that.
My kids, Luke, which, of course, having the name Luke, awesome. My six-year-old had to sign and had to literally sign. He can barely sign his name, but he had to sign an NDA. So we're like, don't go tell your first grade friends this year. It was even more amazing than we thought it was going to be. So we met them there. It was Mark Hamill and his wife and daughter, Chelsea, was there. And so for us, they taped over our cameras on our phones. We were not allowed to take any pictures. But they took, I can't give away any of the sets or things that we saw, obviously, because then Disney will take my home.
Right.
But we were able to take pictures of, at which they took them for us, and they'll be given to us in like a year and a half. We were actually able to take some pictures with nothing in the background with Mark Hamill, and they're now looking at those, and as long as Disney approves, we'll get them. But on this tour, it was sort of ridiculous.
We're going
around with them. It's amazing. So we're going around with them. So it's ridiculous enough to begin with, right? We're in the golf courts around this whole, it's Pinewood Studios outside of, like, just around the edge of London. And they've done, that's where the James Bond.
Yes, I recognize that name from Bond movies. Yep.
Yep. And some other stuff. And so, but then Gary Kurtz joins us, who, if you look in the sort of titles of some of these movie titles, the credits, he was a partner of George Lucas's, who produced Star Wars and then The Empire Strikes Back, along with George Lucas, as well as American Graffiti and some of the stuff on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow.
And then he and George had some sort of a falling out, and so he came along on this tour because he hasn't, you know, been in touch with the Star Wars thing for a good 20 years now. So he's on the tour with us, and then out of nowhere, Danny Harrison, George Harrison's son, is on the tour with us.
Wow.
So we're sort of sitting there like we're clearly the uncoolest people here. I don't know why we're here. And then we ran into eating Chinese food outside of her her trailer, Daisy Ridley, who plays Ray. And the boys were able to go up and get, you know, autographs and all that kind of stuff. And so it was pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Now, your sons must, they must just think that you're just some type of superhero.
Right now they do, which is cool. Because as you know, a couple years down the road, they're going to think I suck.
Right.
Particularly my 9-year-old. I give it 3 years at most. So at least then I can remind them and be like, look, you met Luke Skywalker because of me, so I really don't care that you hate me.
Right, indeed.
That kind of thing.
And then
you know what I mean?
When the guy gets to be 13, then you just put me on the phone with him, and I do my Hugo voice, and that'll carry you for a couple months too. I understand
they still say they're like, they bring you up. They remember you from the from my 40th. They're like, Sam Cedar, you know, and they remember that you do the voice on Bob's Burgers, and mm-hmm. So they know what kind of guy you are.
All right.
They know you're part of that pantheon of famous people that I know now.
Yeah, I'm on the lower end of that pantheon. I'm more like the guy who's like, I check the tickets and then let you into the pantheon. But nevertheless, let's talk about this horrible attack in Nice last night. Go ahead.
Well, from an emotional point, it's really difficult for me because I mentioned that I studied abroad and other. I mean, here I am. We went to England and we did go back to where I studied at the University of Sussex in southern England for a semester. But then during graduate school, I did a summer in a little town called Villefranche, which is literally the first town outside of Nice. I mean, it's a 10-minute train ride. So, you know, Promenade des Anglais and where this happened and all that. I mean, I used to spend a lot of time there. Really difficult emotionally, but then from a sort of a level of trying to get wrap your hands around this thing and say, what should we do? You know, I mean, serious foreign policy discussions are needed as well as domestic policy discussions on what to do here, because I get it that chances are of someone being, caught in one of these attacks are still very, very slim. And you have to always remind people of, what the statistical chances are. But, these things, when these happen, they do these purposely, these sort of, these kinds of attacks that get lots of news coverage, lots of, 80 people now have died, 84, I believe it is. And, I'm at a loss as to exactly what we can do to fight this. I mean, the Donald Trump way clearly doesn't work. The Republican way in general doesn't work. You can't bomb people into being good citizens.
I mean, do we know, though, at this point? I mean, I'm looking at the news, and I saw a piece in, I guess it was the Daily Mail in, out of UK. And as far as I can tell, there's no evidence yet that this guy was some type of jihadist. Now, he was Tunisian. His cousin says the guy never went to, and maybe his cousin doesn't know, but his cousin says the guy never went he drank, he ate pork,
But we found that with the 9/11 attackers, and we found that in the past too. It's kind of like the fact that, if you've seen this video of Dan Patrick, an imbecile lieutenant governor from Texas, debating Barack Obama and insulting him. Have you seen that, Sam?
I haven't, but...
At this town hall, and Obama having to restrain himself while this loudmouthed former talk radio host, who was bankrupt at one point, lectures people in economics, who's divorced, is lecturing people on the sanctity of marriage. You know, it's the same thing. It's always the biggest zealots are the biggest hypocrites. So to me, the fact that he drank and whatever he did in his personal life says nothing, because they always believe they're above the rules. The rules are for everybody else. The question is, we do not know 100% right now. What I would say, obviously, he's a man of Tunisian descent. You know, like anything else, if I see somebody's been attending a Timothy, this is not a racial thing. If I see somebody's been attending sort of a Timothy McVeigh type militia group in the United States, and then they go and they do something, and that's their background. Now, granted, we don't know if he attended a mosque yet.
This is the thing. This is one report. I haven't seen anything to refute this, but. Waleed Hamou, a cousin of Boulel's wife, told the Mail Online, Boulel was not religious. He didn't go to the mosque. He didn't pray. He didn't observe Ramadan. He drank alcohol. He ate pork. He took drugs. He beat my wife. I mean, he beat his wife, rather. Now, it's unclear. Maybe this guy wasn't aware of what this guy was up to. They'll go and check online. Apparently, a couple of days ago, a friend of his basically said to him, a neighbor of his claimed that on the Thursday night, he was drinking with a colleague and they argued. His pal said, "You're worth nothing." And he replied, "One day you'll hear about me." Now, maybe, you know, who knows? But nevertheless,
right. I mean, maybe we'll find out the more evidence comes out that it has nothing to do. But you know what? I guess then the answer is still, you know, whether the guy's inspired by ISIS or not, or he's just a lone wolf who's lost his mind for any thousands of other reasons, we still, as a society, you know, have to figure out how best we can prevent one person who is deranged from doing this kind of damage.
I agree.
And maybe there just is no way. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think here's the thing that I think is very important to make a distinction between. There is a distinction between someone who is inspired by what they see online and someone who has operative ties to these groups. Because if someone has operative ties to these groups, then there are actual policy answers to this. It is you start to shut down certain networks, you ramp up intelligence in certain areas, you try to diminish capacity in terms of supply lines. I mean, there are policy responses to this. If someone goes online and sees videos of people doing horrible things or reads in ISIS chat rooms that what you should do is take a truck and run people over, and they respond to it because either they have radicalized on their own or because they're just feeling, you know, they're disturbed individuals who just need something that inspires them to go commit a crime, right? You know, like the Unabomber or
just the guy in Orlando who seems like he was someone, you know, and I still don't know this different, there's sort of contrary stories that came out there, but whether, you know, he hated himself and couldn't accept that he was gay or that
right.
his dad was angry at him for it or whatever it was. And then, you know, just decides, oh, well, ISIS says I should kill people who are like this and then goes and does it. Right. Whether it's just something like that.
And on some level, look, I mean, the bottom line is, you can diminish that guy's access to guns in Orlando. And beyond, like, you know, continuing to weaken ISIS where they exist, and also, I think, then subsequently, you know, not engaging in foreign policy that is useless, and that being one of the costs associated with it. And counterproductive.
Right.
Is another, but I don't know that we're ever going to get, you know, into a world where if a guy wants to go drive a truck through crowds of people, that you're going to be able to prevent
that. You can 100% prevent that. Yeah, I mean, maybe the answer is, you know, and I can't claim to be an expert in French policy, but maybe the answer is, and I'm not saying the answer, but a contributing, you know, factor that maybe can help prevent this is that we all need more robust mental health services, because the truth of the matter is the argument needs to be made to people, you know, if you want to be selfish and not take care of your fellow man, woman, you know, that's fine. But that may come back to bite you now. Now it's not only about them, because they have access, no matter what, to the types of, you know, things that can kill sometimes large groups of people. And maybe it's, I mean, this guy, look, clearly if he committed domestic violence, clearly if he said something like this to somebody else, I've found this in many of the cases where these guys try, you know, come out in this country with guns. There's always signals before. Nobody one day wakes up and just does stuff out of nowhere, ever.
That's right.
You know,
the problem is
a pattern of violent behavior.
The problem is that for every one of those guys who exhibits those signals, you probably have 10, 20 who are also exhibiting those signals. They just don't ultimately do it. And so society has to make some type of balance. But what my concern is that when we conflate the difference between someone with operative ties to a terror group and the, you know, the terrorist nexus du jour is of the era is of these you know, are coming out of the Middle East, largely speaking.
Right.
You know, the ongoing one is we still have in this country is sort of the right wing, you know, Timothy McVeigh ilk, who pop up from time to time as well. But if there's no operative ties, there's no way for us to deal with either one of them. You know, you can't.
That's right. I mean,
you can't, like, you
well,
know.
Well, again, and then in some cases, poverty, you know, is a factor in alienation. And, you know, I think the way forward is what we as progressives believe, because I think by having the most equal and the society with the most guaranteed services and ability for everyone to fulfill, you know, to be able to use their talents to their greatest ability, like we believe in, I think that in and of itself prevents some of these kinds of things, because
yep.
it tends to be those who are impoverished and angry and resentful because of that who turn to this, right? I mean, so again, I think you're right. And I guess that's my frustration right now, is that it's not like I ever think there's an easy answer. It's not like there is necessarily an easy answer to Orlando. Of course, I believe in that we can do a lot more with guns in this country, but as I always say, that's not ever going to prevent every one of these things. You know, you need a wide range of policies that help, that are helping people that are in impoverished situations, that are suffering from poor mental health and the rest. And then clearly there's still going to be things here and there. So, you know, it's a difficult situation, and it's sad, and you know, it's tough.
Speaking
you know?
Of it's sad, Donald Trump,
yeah.
as of last night, had canceled his announcement of who his VP was going to be. And it, you know, it was at least widely reported that people presumed it was going to be Mike Pence because he had flown to New Jersey. And then, as of this morning, I guess, it was out there, and Pence had to sign a document saying he wasn't going to rerun for governor in Indiana. And apparently, you know, there's a lot of reason to believe that he was going to lose anyways.
Right.
And
he's incredibly unpopular, yeah.
And so he has been, I believe, according to Donald Trump's Twitter account, officially named the VP. And they're going to do some
ceremony. They announced it on Fox, because I was at the gym earlier, and sadly they have Fox on one of their TVs, and I saw it. And my reaction, as usual, is just sort of like, is there anything, small, big, or in between, that this guy can actually, when this guy can actually hold to his word? Does his word?
Well, forget about his
anything?
Word for a moment. Let's just look at this in
but
terms
he
of.
Just, but I mean, well, let me just finish that one thought, and then okay. I mean, he said one simple thing: I'm not going to name the guy tomorrow out of respect for what just happened in France. An incredibly sort of mature statement out of Donald Trump.
I actually think to the opposite. I think that
really,
I think the idea of not naming him was sort of ridiculous in a way. I mean,
no,
you're going to allow these terror attacks to upend sort of the political process in another
maybe
country.
Maybe not. I guess I see what you're saying, but we put flags at half mast, and we honor in certain ways. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, we're not going to continue the political process. But saying, you know, it's like after the MP was shot in Britain, they didn't campaign for a day or two. I feel like you can, without giving up your political process, you can just say one day we're going to, you know, I want to, you know, or just don't say it. But I guess my point is that he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to go ahead and do that. But it's sort of like this guy is so unpredictable, is so such a lunatic that he's so impulsive that he just has to do whatever the hell he feels like or say whatever he feels like at any given time. So he made a statement, whether you agree with it or not, I'm not going to name the guy tomorrow. And it took him 12 hours to break that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he can't stick with anybody who thinks that this is a person that could be a good commander in chief or anything for that matter is amazing to me. I mean, there's no predictability. The one true thing this guy has said his entire campaign is, you know, I'm unpredictable. And that's exactly right. He thinks somehow that's a good thing in foreign policy and business. That's actually the worst thing you can possibly be in either of those arenas. You know, and that's the thing, is that you cannot trust what foreign leader, you know, or what member of Congress or really anybody is ever going to take this guy at his word on anything.
Well, I mean, I think, look, it's the foreign leaders have already basically said as much as they can say in terms of how terrified they are at the prospect of this guy actually being the president of the United States. But so Pence is the person. There is no announcement. I don't know when they're going to do the official announcement, but my understanding is they're going to do it in New Jersey, as if just literally. I don't know if they're
literally say Chris Christie.
I mean,
I want to rub it in your face as much as possible.
It's unclear to me whether or not Chris Christie is actually going to be there to literally hold up the platform that they're standing on when they make this announcement. But
he's going to put it on his back, I think, and lie down sort of prone.
I'm enjoying.
And stand on it. I mean, I am too, because he's such a terrible person in every way. He would have fit very well with Trump because he's been a con artist his entire career, too. And sort of took a political appointment and turned it into, like, so, you know, something that he was supposedly a respectable guy. But Pence is interesting, too. I mean, I wouldn't call Pence a con artist. I would call him a terrible leader. I mean, in Indiana, you never hear anything. I hear so many things out of other governors. You've never heard from this guy except for when something bad is happening. He's as right-wing. He ran that Republican study group, which was like the precursor to the Freedom Caucus now. The far-right lunatic fringe of the Republican Party on everything. You know, he was. It's hard to find somebody more anti-abortion than John Kasich, but this is a guy who was going to, as part of his thing, force women to be offered fetal remains after they had an abortion just to guilt them and make them feel terrible. I mean, he's, you know, his policies, his anti-gay policies are abhorrent. I mean, he's that social, you know, so it's a pick quite clearly out of weakness. I mean, what Trump's doing here is he's like, I'm not doing well enough among religious white nut jobs, particularly men. So I'm going to reinforce that by picking this guy and make them feel better.
And give me your sense I agree with you. He clearly feels like he needs to shore up his sort of like both his establishment and his sort of, I guess, social conservative bona fides. I think this is going to be.
But I don't think this even brings in one establishment person who's not there. In other words, this may make the people already supporting him feel more at ease because Pence is a member of the club, even though he's a right wing nut. But I mean, it doesn't. You know, nobody doesn't make John Kasich or Mitt Romney or the Bush family or any of the other people that haven't endorsed him be like, oh, he's got Mike Pence. Okay, I'm going to endorse him now.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen that, and I don't expect to see that.
I would agree with that. I do think, however, you know, look, in a typical situation, I think people overestimate the implications of a vice presidential candidate more often than not. And
yeah.
With Trump in particular, I think it's easy. I mean, it the most obvious answer is like, well, Trump is such a big character. It really doesn't matter who his VP is, right? But I got to say that my inclination is to believe that there is, it's possible that Pence holds so many of these very extreme positions and then some positions that are different from Trump's that it's going to force Trump to respond to some very specific questions in a way that he hasn't before. In other words, Mike Pence promoted RFRA, okay, the Religious Freedom Act, which basically says you have the right in this state to discriminate against gay people explicitly, like an explicit right to discriminate against gay people.
Right.
Donald Trump is going to have to disavow that or not in very explicit terms, I think. And he's going to also have to do that with questions of abortion. He's going to have to do this even with the TPP. He's got to address like how he brought this guy on.
That's going to be really interesting because, I'm in a way, I'm really glad about that because we all know that Trump's anti-TPP position is just a ruse. You know, it's just all one big feint to try to convince, you know, people he's with them and kiss, the, you know, and win over that vote. And so it'd be nice to point out that he clearly is so devoted to that position that here he picks a guy who really is very much in the economic mainstream of the Republican Party. Tax cuts for rich people. Free trade, no free trade deal can be bad, that kind of thing.
Well, the funny thing is, like, look, you always have a presidential...
Cutting Social Security, I mean to say that, and that's important, too, because Trump was also trying to pretend that he didn't think we should cut Social Security and Medicare after, you know, calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme back in the past, and Pence has been one who has pretty much called it that, if not in those exact words.
Well, I mean, here's my thinking, though, is that generally, look, you always have a vice presidential candidate who will have some policy disagreements with the president and the presidential candidate. The presidential candidate will say, well, look, yeah, we have policy disagreements. And then they do some dance where they say we agree to disagree on this, and that works out. But the difference here in this situation is that Donald Trump is not running on any policy prescriptions. The, you know, we haven't heard him talk about anything other than build the wall or, you know, some very broad strokes on some stuff that and
he's but he has made trade. That has been one of the few things.
That's true. That's true.
That
That's
he
true.
Mentions again and again. I mean, I agree with you. There's always differences. You know, George H.W. Bush magically became anti-choice after being pro-choice when he ran with Reagan. I can think of a number of things like that. But it's a big difference when suddenly it's the exact issue that you know, you're right. He's not many policy prescriptions, but the two things he's mentioned more than anything else are immigration, you know, building the stupid wall and being against trade, and that this trade deal is, you know, raping, I think he used that word, mm-hmm. our country, you know, and things like that. So if you really believe that, kind of hard to pick somebody who has been very vociferously in favor of it.
I think what's even worse for Trump, though, is that he's going to have to talk about these policy issues to a certain extent by the nature of the pick. Like, you know, for instance, Newt Gingrich. What stands out about what positions Newt Gingrich has or doesn't have or has acted upon in any recent fashion that Donald Trump would have to account for? None. They would just keep talking in broad platitudes because Newt Gingrich hasn't taken a position on anything that it wasn't just like, you know, for TV. Even Chris Christie, there's nothing there that sticks out that would, it seems to me, garner a lot of attention. I just think that this is going to have to force Donald Trump to take some positions and is going to bring this race into one of ideology where then I think he's got a real problem in many respects.
I see what you're saying.
It adds
something, right. It fills in almost a blank
I've
space.
Always felt that the biggest problem, and I was saying this 6 months ago, that why Hillary Clinton would have a tough time against Donald Trump is because he's going to keep this on a personal level. And
right.
And she had been running, largely speaking, on a personal level on her CV. And that was just not a great playing field because he can dominate that playing field just by virtue of the fact that he's just
shameless.
If it gets into policy prescriptions, he's going to be in big trouble here because that's not where he's comfortable.
He also left himself some open space by the fact that he has a unique place where, because the media looks at him as just a showman and doesn't take him seriously anyhow, he, you know, I mean, granted, some places, CNN with that famous Chiron, and maybe they've done it since then, some other, I've seen the New York Times do it a few times, have actually gone beyond their usual, you know, he said, she said, and pointed out that he's changed positions or that he said something he claims he hasn't said and is lying. But he does that so much, he gets away with it a lot. He's done it before. Like, he's came out and said that you know, people should be able to use whatever bathrooms they felt comfortable in, and then went back on that. He at one point said, you know, he said something that sounded a lot like he was pro-choice. Then suddenly he wants women going to prison for having abortions. So he's done some of that dance where he could get away with some of that and let people that are either, you know, who are Republicans who are either pro-choice or for gay rights or whatever think, yeah, I don't think he really cares about that. And so, you know, clearly he said something here and there to make the right feel good, and I can still feel comfortable voting for him. But then he adds this literal nut job to his ticket who has made a career of going after women's rights and going after gays and lesbians. And so, you know, who made himself infamous in the entire country and saw his numbers plummet because of...
In his own state.
In his own state because of what he stood up in, because you don't have to sell, you know, you make cakes, you don't have to sell them to somebody who's having a gay wedding. Mind you, all the public stuff we've done, like schools and roads, you can still use all of that. But you can't, you know, so that's the thing. And that's where I think now the ideology is more filled in, and you can use kind of the way Sarah Palin was used against John McCain, You know, you can, and Paul Ryan on economic issues was used to sort of against Romney. The fact that this guy seems like the kind of guy he'd like to run with says something about where, whether he believes or not, who cares, where he's going to take us on women's rights and gay rights.
Right.
I mean, you know, so there you go.
All right. Well, give me a couple of words. Now, obviously, we're still working out what our coverage is going to be of the Republican National Convention. It's starting to look like we're going to do a show like from 6 to 10 every night next week. We may or may not do one during the day. Just not sure yet. You know, I will get with you to figure out when we can have you on, hopefully multiple times to call in as you're watching this this. I don't know. Give me your sense of like
this 1-800 kind of like the late night things where they charge you $19.95 and you know you buy like some crappy Ginsu knife. Well, actually, I think those are not bad, but you know, you buy some crappy thing that can fall apart. That's kind of what this feels like. It'll be part snake oil salesman, part religious revival, part motorcycle gang hangout. And probably a bit of a Klan rally.
But the interesting thing to me about it is it's people who, it's like, it's full of people who feel like they got nothing left to lose. Right?
That's
because
right. Well,
like,
I mean, and that's
because nobody
thing,
who yeah. thinks they're going to have a future in the Republican Party or in American politics or ones who are just sort of are going to go to this because they're afraid of being tainted by it. So you're getting like figures who, even Tim Tebow apparently has dropped out.
Yeah, Tim Tebow is like, I don't want to be tainted by Donald Trump. I mean, isn't
I still
Tim
may
Tebow
have a
like
chance
serving,
to do a Chick-fil-A
ad
or something like that, and he doesn't want to, you know. So it's just it literally is like the last. Stop.
Maybe they'll get Johnny Manziel to show up and speak. He seems good for it. He knows Cleveland pretty well. You know, you're right. I mean, look, celebrities, like, we have a celebrity here speaking, Anthony Sabato Jr. I had to look up what the guy did.
Who is that?
The feeling he's a crappier version of Ricky Martin with less talent. Although Ricky Martin actually is somewhat talented. But point being, even if that's not my thing.
Don't get Kelly's ire up about Ricky Martin.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kelly. Ricky Martin's got some skills. I wasn't, you know, Menudo.
He has definite
and all that
talent.
Stuff.
It can't be denied.
Yeah.
He can't be denied. I'm a bit of an a-hole for even doing that. But
I mean, I'm
Jr.
not in love with his music, but come on, have you seen him dance?
He can move that thing.
That's all I have to say.
Yep, he can move that thing. Anthony Sabato Jr., what does he do?
I wish I never heard you say that.
General Hospital a few times or at some point, but I don't know what he does. So he's a celebrity who's speaking. The traditional Republican business people will be there, right? Like you've got what's her name who ran in Connecticut and lost twice, who's the head of the World Wrestling Federation, name not coming to me, McMahon.
Oh, right.
So now you've got the head of the mixed martial arts
UFC thing, is going to be there, yeah.
Right, I mean, it's hysterical. It's like the same people because it's always, it's like C-list, or C-list, W-list, you know, actors and singers and whatever. It's people who own businesses generally where people hurt and destroy each other. It's like the same group of people. Shockingly, those people are Republican.
I am very concerned that what we're going to have over the course of this convention is just going to be lame inside. Although I think on the outside, it could be sort of terrifying because I'm afraid there's going to be some open carry people there. And God knows what happens.
We're an open carry state, sadly.
I know
we have that stupidity, and they're going to, the neo-Nazis say they're going. Certain people on, and other left groups have said they're going, and I don't see good things happening. I'm not going, and quite seriously on purpose, because I have kids, and I don't want to be there for what, I mean, and then what you're pointing out inside will only pollute our culture. You know what I mean?
I think it's just going to be lame. I mean, I'm excited to sit in here and
drink
literally a pint of alcohol a night is going to be my agenda. To drink a pint of alcohol a night. Maybe we'll put up some type of, voting thing for what type of alcohol it'll be. But I'm afraid that it's just going to be lame. Like, we're just, I already forgot the guy you just said who's going to be there. Like, who are we going to get?
He forgot who he is, I think.
We're not even going to get Tim Tebow to give a speech. Like, who are we going to, am I going to watch Rudy Giuliani give a speech? Are you kidding me?
It's funny, that was the third group. When I was mentioning groups of people, the sort of personality disordered Republicans will be there. You know, like I guess maybe.
But this guy's like old. This guy's like.
The East Coast anger issue guys, you know, Chris Christie, Rudy Giuliani, all the, hey, screw you, kind of.
But this
you know,
is even like B and C list for the Republicans. Like literally, this is like the Fox backbenchers. They're going to be bringing out the guys, the Fox contributors who are available on the weekends. Like that's the caliber of people. And I think that's just going to be boring. But hopefully
well, of course
not.
It will be. I mean, except for you know that Giuliani will say something overtly racist when he gets up there. Like they'll say the only what'll be interesting about it is to see what lines they'll cross, and there'll be a number of them. But to see what lines they'll cross and what other just complete goofiness happen. You know, I know that you've got to move on soon. So I just will say, never during my lifetime did I think I would say that Dan Quayle was only the second worst vice presidential pick from Indiana. But I think I'm there. I think old Dan is looking better in hindsight.
You say so, tomato, I spell it a different way.
Yeah, you say potato.
It was a potato, I guess, right? Okay.
The whole thing is, I mean, yes, the whole thing's screwed. I hope people don't get hurt. I think what's going on inside, it will repulse. Basically, what I'm thinking right now, Sam, I think the best way to end it on is I'm thinking 1992. When Bush needed to shore up the right, and so Pat Buchanan got up and spoke and talked about, you know, about a religious war going on. I think it's going to be that kind of over-the-top rhetoric in prime time, and that's not going to help them.
Cliff, I'll be in touch. We'll figure out something about next week. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the States.
Thank you. I look forward to it. And again, sorry, Kelly, about Ricky Martin. He's awesome.
May the force be with you, Cliff.
You too, my friend. Take care.
Bye-bye. Feel like we should get that's gotta be I gotta do that every time now. I associate him so much now with Star Wars. I would be terrified to tell my daughter that Cliff did that because then she would expect something like that from me. All right, what do we have a song from Jimmy Reefer Cake? Oh, we're gonna play it after Isbell. All right, Matt, there you go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Isabel Gillies.
Whoa, is a gobstopper in my mouth. Hold my breath, count to ten. Spit it out. On my head, falls like autumn leaves. My mirror shows a weight of human frailty.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to be able to play this theme song on a Friday afternoon.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know.
Listen to the picks from Isabel.
IsabelGillies.com.
That, of course, is the IsabelGillies.com theme song by Jimmy Reefercake from Maine, coincidentally, where my understanding is we've caught up with Isabel as she has driven from Maine. She is trying to escape the country at the prospect of Donald Trump being the president. She's driving through the Green Mountains of Vermont now. Is that right, Isabel?
Well, I am almost at New Hampshire, so I'm not in the Green Mountains. I'm on 95.
You're on 95.
It's a straighter shot, actually.
A straighter shot.
Vermont, where I'm, you know, trying to seek refuge.
I see.
From what's happening.
You seem to be moving west to east as opposed to south to north, because you're trying to go up to Maine. Is that it?
Well, no. I was in Maine. I'm driving down to go back up north. That's how, in order not to go through the mountains, which is very curvy and sort of slow, you go down and then up.
I see.
Through New Hampshire.
And then you're going into Vermont. Is that the plan? I don't understand what you're
doing.
That
is the plan. That is the plan. I'm going to from Maine to Vermont to get the kids. But here's the thing. I just pulled into the Kennebunk rest stop.
The Kennebunk, that of course is where George
Bushland.
W. Bush. Yes.
Correct.
Okay, I know exactly where you are, and now I know exactly where you are. I spent a summer working in Ogunquit, Maine.
Well, I'm very close to Ogunquit right now. I might be 15 minutes away.
And what are you doing? You're picking up the kids from camp.
Yes.
They've been
going to the great land of Vermont.
Well, there you go. And contemplating just keep driving north to go to Canada, see if you can cross the border?
Or find some sort of bear cave and take my people and just live in there.
All right. Until
I don't know when. I'm so sad, Sam, about everything.
It's been
in the world.
Just a horrible 2 weeks, it seems to me.
Horrible. Horrible. And it's not, yesterday, niece, I have trouble wrapping my head around it, as most of the world probably does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really disturbing. I mean, and some of the videos coming out of there, it's just disturbing. And horrible, and I feel bad for folks in France in particular, because it really does seem like there's a sense that they're under siege. And both my sisters are over there right now in France. One of them was at the Nice airport yesterday.
Really?
Yes. But fortunately, everybody is safe. One of my sisters, her boyfriend is French, and their family is in Nice, and as far as I know, all of them are safe. So,
it's hard to what's freaking me out, Sam, and is that I can't see where it's going at all, and I'm listening to, you know, I've been in the car for hours now. I'm listening to all the radio stations, and I'm listening to the conservative radio stations, and I'm listening to the, you know, NPRs, and I can't hear that anybody has a good idea of what's going on at all.
Well, as Donald Trump would say, we got to figure out what's going on.
Well, does he say that?
He does say that.
He just, in the last hour, he just picked Pence, right?
Yeah.
Diane Reams told me.
And now that Diane Reams has told you that, does it change your mind about voting for him?
What's happening?
We got to figure out
what
what's happening.
My father's 83 and very, you know, big liberal guy, and he said it's worse than 68. I've never seen anything like it. I've never read anything like it. He sort of has nothing for me either.
What do you mean he says it's worse than 68?
68 says worse of feeling in the country than 1968.
Really?
Politically.
Yeah. I mean,
and he was working on Rockefeller and all that stuff.
He was working for Rockefeller?
Yeah. He was his campaign manager.
What?
His campaign. Yeah. He was his front man.
It's not terribly liberal of him. Rockefeller was the Republican.
I know, but Dad was the a Republican, the way, you know, the Republicans, like Lincoln Republicans. And then he was working with Barry Commoner in the Citizens Party.
There you go. I didn't know this about you, Isabel.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Well. So your dad's freaking out. You're freaking out.
Dad's freaking out. Are you freaking out?
Am I freaking out? No. I mean, I had some dental work this week, and so that's been it's been very painful for me. So that's been overriding everything. I mean,
you know that I have so little internet where I am that I see a tweet of yours with a link and I can't download to it.
I'm sorry about that. Oh, it was George Bush dancing at the funeral for police officers who were attacked and you know, five of them killed in Dallas. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, at this point, it's like it's almost too much to process.
And it's relentless. It's like waves. It's nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that. I mean, I think, you know, I think there are just periods, I think, in history, which are more tumultuous than others. But, you know, with that said, you know, historically speaking, you know, in the 80s, there were multiple, I mean, like dozens of terror attacks in this country. Bombs blew up. LaGuardia Airport. Do you remember that? You were
right. Yes. Wow. I remember it right this second. I just remembered it when you said it.
Yeah. I mean, you lived in New York at the time. I mean, tell me what it felt like in New York. And was it the mid 80s when bomb blows
like
up at LaGuardia Airport?
West. Yeah. And there were, I mean, this is in the 70s. Remember blackouts? And it was in New York. It was sort of heavy, but it felt like, I mean, it was, I feel like it was supercharged and there was a lot of crime and there was a lot of discrepancy in people's income and all that kind of stuff. And maybe the law enforcement was, you know, I was a young kid, but it felt hairy. But I feel like now, but then you were in this big metropolis. So you're like, well, we're choosing to live in kind of a, you know, place where that kind of thing probably will happen if it's going to happen everywhere. But the thing that freaks me out or freaks everybody out about what happens now, it's like, you know, two men get killed in their car, five policemen get killed. It's everywhere, and it's all kinds of different configurations of terror and horror.
Yeah.
And people... I don't know. I'm going to sound so dumb on the subject because I'm so lost.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody has anything, frankly, terribly intelligent or rational or, you know, satisfying to say about it. I mean, the overall sort of anxiety, too, I think, is that, you know, the idea that Donald Trump is pulling neck and neck with Hillary Clinton and the idea that, you know, we have a candidate in Hillary Clinton that is, you know, putting aside my ideological differences with her. And I'm frankly, like, you know, I'm happy the impact that the primary has had on at least her rhetoric. That to me has some value. She's a flawed candidate. And
yep.
There's a lot of reasons for that. That obviously there's a tremendous amount of misogyny in this country, and I think misogyny has a lot more license than racism does. She
yep,
also
that's what I've been saying.
She also plays into that misogyny. She's, let me say, it's easy for her to be, not by any you know, anything that she herself has done, but by her sort of like her demographic, you know. Look, it would be almost impossible for any woman to be in her position at this juncture in our history, but for the way in which she got there.
She got there. Exactly. And,
but.
Exactly. And there's no one else, because no one else right now would vote for Elizabeth Warren, or, I mean, you couldn't. And even if you're just a normal working woman, just in the workforce, you can pick 50 different jobs. Anybody who's been in the workforce for over 20 years, say, will say definitively, this is not easy. It is impossible to be a woman in the workforce and to get higher and higher and to get the same pay and to have the respect, the same respect. It's a miracle that she's there, and she could probably only be there if she was first lady, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, exactly, and I think that's my point, is that also feeds into people's misogyny. I mean, to a certain you know, set of people's misogyny, and you know, I don't think a lot
and there's
of this
no
will
one
be
coming. there's no one up coming up the pike that will, because Michelle Obama's not going to be in office of any kind.
Well, I actually think that there are going to be women in our generation and younger who are going to be able to, who are going to have a trajectory that is going to be sort of more consistent and traditional in terms of the way they get into politics, frankly. But
you know, Sam, I went to a meeting, a local politics meeting with Helen Rosenthal. Do you know who that is? She's a city council person in New York, Upper West Side. And so New York City politics, and she ran and ran and ran, and she got elected, and District 3. And what I'm meaning to say is that any local politic, anybody in any town in any city can go to a small meeting where you're going to talk about traffic patterns and crime and trying to get something through, trying to get something not shut down, or trying to get a park built or something. It's impossible. I was talking with this woman who's worked her whole life. She's probably a little older than me, so that's, maybe she's 50, 52. And she's in local, and it's so hard to get anything through, anything. I couldn't believe it. So then I think about jurisdiction. I don't know how anybody does it, much less a woman who 75% of the people in the room think shouldn't be talking because she's a woman. It's astonishing, I think, that Hillary Clinton is where she is and is as good at what she does and has gotten so much done.
Right. But with all that said, still a flawed candidate. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't, it's sort of like a movie production in a way, right? Like when you're showing a movie, you can't say, oh, this part didn't come out the way we wanted it to because we didn't get the funding we needed here. Or it rained on this day, so we had to move the shoot inside. That's why this is a little disjointed. Please forgive us. No, people judge the movie based upon the movie.
The whole package, right.
And so I think, you know, that this dynamic lends itself to a certain amount of anxiety. You know, so my hope is that, you know, come November, Donald Trump loses big, the Republican Party loses big, and we revert to some semblance of at least stability. But it's a very, unstable time.
And you can't relax for a second. Because about a week ago, I was like, oh, no, he's not going to win. And then just, what was it, the New York Times yesterday came out with that poll, neck and neck. So, I mean, do you think, Sam, that because we have young kids, that, because with 16 Republican candidates and what was it, 4 Democrats? How many people ran?
There was 5. Jim Webb, Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, and then Clinton and Sanders.
Right. And that, do you think that it's going, my question is, do you think that kids in the next generation are going to say, okay, what we saw in 2016 was a total disaster and almost really, you know, endangered the whole world. So we have to now, as a generation, think about how our country is run and get into it, like, and start to think more about getting into politics. Because I don't think any kids think that they're going to go into politics.
I don't know.
I
don't know what you mean by kids. Like, you know, kids like our young kids' age. I mean, I think young people are more engaged than we were in politics, to be honest with you. I mean, our generation.
But are they going to run? Are they going to go and start to, you know, think about, all right, I'm going to try and be a senator. I'm going to try and be the governor.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, my daughter, I could see her trying to do that.
I don't know. There wasn't a great selection, is what I'm saying.
It's not hard for me to imagine my daughter wanting a position where she would impose her will on people. It's not hard for me to imagine.
Well, you should
that.
Encourage it.
I do, believe me. But I encourage it to happen after the age of 18.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to encourage.
I'm sitting here, and I got to tell you, in the station where you go and, you know, take a rest stop, the rest stop station. It's really in Maine. I'm looking at America here. You know, you get out of the city and you can see. I mean, I have a picture of someone with a Trump bumper sticker.
Well, I'm sure there's a Trump bumper sticker around there. I mean, you know, Governor LaPage up there, you know.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah.
You're in Jimmy Reefercake territory.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing over the summer? Are you going to be writing your book?
Yeah, I'm writing my book. Now, more than ever, do we need a book about how to make yourself feel better? I'm writing my book.
Now, this is the book on how to relax, right? Is that what it was?
No, it's a book about being cozy.
Oh, cozy, right, cozy.
Cozy.
The cozy book,
I'm doing that. I'm interested in I'm sort of interested to see what's going on in the world, you know? That seems to be, the kids are going to come home. The kids have been in camp, but I couldn't decide whether to write to them or not about what was going on in the world. I just did a one line about that the country was very upset, and it was about race, and there was a lot of that stuff going on. Because I don't think you can, you know, I think you got to keep them apprised to a certain point. They're in camp, or
I think it's nice to let kids. Mile is at camp for 2 weeks, and I'm on vacation, so I figure I'd let her be on vacation.
Yeah, that's true. What do you mean you're on vacation?
She's not. I don't have a kid.
That's right. It's like a vacation. You got one kid. What about Saul?
Saul is out of town right now, too. We sent him to sleepaway camp, too, for three-year-olds.
Are you going to go see any movies?
No, because I've been too sick.
I saw Paul Simon.
You saw Paul Simon? Is that a movie or the guy?
It's a guy. Wait, hold on. Did you just say you've been sick?
Yes.
Do you know that I'm going to recommend oregano oil to you?
I didn't know that. Is that going to be your movie?
Is it like a bronchial thing?
No, I have some type of infection from dental work, but I'll go with the oregano oil.
Okay, so oregano. It's an antibacterial.
All right. I've read about that. Now apple cider vinegar too? Or are you off that?
Yeah. I'm reading it right. I'm not reading it. I'm drinking it right now. Right now. I have an apple cider vinegar lemonade that I'm nursing as I drive through the coastal. What is this? The Northeast? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Northeast. That would be Maine and New England. Hold on, Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly wants to. I don't know. Talk to you.
Hi.
Hi,
I think everyone can guess what I'm going to ask about. How's your puppy?
Duke. I just left the dogs with my parents.
How's he doing with the training and everything like that?
He's great. He can now do, I say, rest, and he goes into rest position.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My puppy, still wilder.
What's your puppy's name again?
Edie.
Oh, my God.
She's gotten 95% better behaved, but she also ate a piece of glass this week. So
Kelly's been feeding her glass. Will you please tell Kelly that?
Or something?
No, I dropped something. Piece chipped off. She got to it because I feed her ice. I think she just was like
ice.
And so then I had to take her.
Did her mouth bleed or did
it? Didn't. I tried to pull it out. Had to take her to the emergency vet.
Oh, we can't hear this.
No, nothing bad happened or gross. It was very lucky, I think, because she's fine, and that was on Monday. So,
did they get it out with one of those periscopes?
No, we didn't.
How'd they get it out?
They did not decide to do that because they
did. She poop it out?
I believe so.
Oh, lousy.
All right, now that we've gotten that that breaking news out of the way.
Yeah.
All right, now, okay. So, Isabel, we're living in an age of anxiety.
Yes.
We are living in an age of instability.
Guess what I did?
What?
Wait, instead of, guess what? There's a new thing in my life. Talk about age of anxiety. I've started to meditate.
Whoa. How's that going? What prompted that?
I did transcendental meditation training, and I meditate for 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. And the only reason why I say something so personal on the radio, not that I've been a stranger to saying personal things on the radio, it's because it's an absolute game changer.
Game changer.
100% life changer.
Life changer.
Yep.
Well, and so wait, so in what way has your life changed?
I have more clarity, calmer.
You seem
better
calmer.
Problem solving.
You do seem Thank calmer. You. And when I talked to you, when I texted you and I was like, come on the show tomorrow, and you're like, I'm going to be driving. Like you immediately, I suggested just pull over and it immediately was resolved. I picked that up on that. I didn't realize it was from the meditation.
It's meditation. And I'm, it's, you know, anybody can learn. There's no dogma. There's no philosophy behind it. It's all science and it's easy and simple and absolutely transformative, I would say.
Whoa. And
Jerry Seinfeld does the same kind. It's been
talked
about.
In that case, I mean, if Seinfeld does it,
he's done it for 40 years.
Oh, in that case, I mean, so do you find yourself to be less funny?
Well, I was never very funny.
Are you upset about all the political correctness?
What political correctness?
I'm just trying to find out, like, how it impacts.
I am less anxious.
You're less anxious. All right.
I'm anxious. You respond appropriately.
Here's my question, because I've meditated at different periods for a very long period of time. I did it really consistently, but then I started having trouble getting to a place where I could, do it for 20 minutes and it kind of happened all of a sudden. Do you have any ways that you, because I think that's what stops most people, because it's hard
that they've
to get.
Well, here's the thing. Does anybody think it's hard to eat lunch or dinner? You just kind of do it because you have to do it, right?
Right.
Like, okay, I like kind of have to sit here and eat this for 20 minutes or,
well, I mean,
you know,
it depends
or maybe
on what
it,
the quality of the food is. I mean,
can you imagine Sam trying to make his brain stop for 20 minutes? That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, but that's the beauty. That's the beauty about this form of meditation is that your brain doesn't stop. In fact, it's the opposite. So thought is included. So it's not like clear your mind.
So in other words,
thoughts,
it's not really meditation. It's just resting.
It's a deep, well, no, that is maintained, but it is a deep state of rest.
Now, where did you get this? Where did you take this course? Is it online?
At the TM Center. No, I went and got a teacher and learned.
Oh, all right. Well, then it's
for
not available
days.
For
and
us.
And anybody can do it.
Well,
yeah, there are TM centers all over the whole nation.
Yeah, but isn't it very expensive? Isn't that very expensive? Like you got to pay like $900 or something?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Or is it more than that? How much?
No, that's what it is. That's what it is.
It's $900, right?
And if, yeah,
go
if
online.
I think that, yeah, but here's the thing. $900 is way, way less than, say, a gym membership or
that's why I don't belong to a gym membership.
Diet pills or whatever. Like, people put a lot of money into their well-being, you know? So
not me.
I thought, well.
I'm still trying to get out of my medical bills, frankly.
Well, but here's the thing. You would, the benefit is so great that, and maybe it is. Maybe that is a lot of money, but it's, first of all, it's broken. And so what's $400 into $900?
$400 into $900? I don't know, about $220, I guess.
Okay, so let's say I didn't go out to dinner with my family for a month. That's it.
Are you spending $225 every time you go out to dinner?
Well, if I've got five people in my family.
Where are you guys going to eat?
No,
Jesus.
But I mean, it's close. It's close to that. I'm just saying, you know, now I'm going to get a million people thinking, you know, whatever. But I sold a book and I was like, you know what? In order to write this book, this next book, I'm going to need to, and have a teenager. I really did it because I've had teenagers. I'm going to need to really get off the roller coaster. You know what that, have I even said that on the show before? The roller coaster? Of teenagers. The whole deal with being a teenager is that you're on a roller coaster. It's the teenagers on a roller coaster. That's what it feels like. And the job of the parent is to be standing where the kid can see you to the side of the roller coaster, but not to get on.
Ah, I like
and
that.
And my tendency
clip that,
is
please,
to get on.
For Nikki.
Yeah, my tendency is to get on the roller coaster. And that's what, where my, I'm a big feeler. I've got a lot of anxiety. I'm like a very productive person, but I'm like really type A in a lot of ways. And I have to like get off that roller coaster and focus on things that I need to do, like write this book. So I thought it was worth the money to learn. And also, by the way, it's a lot of discipline.
No, that's, I might be sold. I might be sold. Now, you're not going to suggest some movie now about meditation, are you?
No, but ready for this?
Yeah.
They also, TM, it also, they give it to vets. They teach it to school kids and veterans and all kinds of, you go on this website, the David Lynch Foundation, and you'll see how many people it helps, honestly.
All right.
And there's, I think, ways to do it for less money. I think if you learn as a couple or as a family, it's less money. I think that school kids, it's a foundation.
All right. Fair enough.
I guess that's a plug, but it really has changed my life. I'm not kidding.
Well, I mean, to change your life, I mean, that's pretty big.
Ready for this?
Yeah. Is this the movie recommendation?
It's as big. No, because not yet, because I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
Starting TM. And remember, I'm just a beginner, is as big a deal to me as when I quit smoking 25 years ago.
Whoa.
That is how important I think it is.
Wow. All right.
And I quit smoking and never had another drag.
Wow.
Also life altering.
Yeah. I mean, okay? When I quit smoking, I didn't feel it was really that life altering. I just
you didn't.
No, I just felt like, God, I wish I still smoked.
No, I didn't feel like that.
I gained 5 pounds.
Oh, I gained maybe 20 pounds. Good Lord. I gained so much. You know, because what I did is I drank tea and ate jelly donuts.
Oh, all right.
Every time I wanted a cigarette.
You know what? I will say this. I don't get hungover in the way that I used to when I smoke cigarettes.
Ugh. Okay,
I don't drink like I used to either. All right, so
what are we gonna do about Trump?
Well, tell us a movie suggestion first, and then we'll get on to that. What do you got?
Well, I don't really have any ones, really good ones. Hold on, I do.
All right. Well, then we'll just rent TM.
I'll tell you something. The TM was the big takeaway from today, but. If you want something to watch on Netflix, I will always tell you that The Chef's Table is really interesting.
Chef's Table?
Yep. It's documentaries about different chefs. It's beautifully done, and I loved it. And I watched that in the last month.
All right. Well, I don't want to step on the whole transcendental meditation thing because I'm actually contemplating that. I feel like I need to do that.
Oh, I know.
I think you need to do meditation and yoga.
Okay.
I need to get in shape.
Those are two totally different things.
Got it.
So this is what you should do. Go to the David Lynch Foundation.
Okay.
And there's a 20-minute video.
Ugh, who's got 20 minutes?
But by Bob Ross, who is the head of it. And watch that.
Sorry,
and just see what you
weird.
Think.
All right. Bob Roth.
No, I'm not trying to proselytize or be like touchy-feely hippie chick. I'm telling you, it's scientific. It's like the journal of every American journal backs it. It's scientific. Just that's what you should go and check out.
All right. As soon as I do this, right, though, I start wondering why liberals don't get in there and attack Muslims. Is this gonna cure me of my regressiveness?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you're probably, you know, you might have the clarity to actually is to take it step by step a little better.
All right. Isabel Gillies, always a pleasure. Please drive carefully. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Bye, Kelly. I don't know who else is in there, but
Matt.
Have a good summer. Let's stay in touch because it's their dark times.
I know.
And what about next week? And what's going to happen at the RNC or the... Yeah,
I don't know.
We're gonna do shows we're gonna do shows at night.
Yeah, you can listen to our
show.
For
the actual show of the RNC, which we are considering a show.
So you can tune in, man. Try and stream us. She doesn't know how to work it.
I'll try if I could have one more than one dot on my computer.
All right. Well, good luck with your dots.
You know, that's how where I listen to you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Love everybody. Right.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isabel Gillies, ladies and gentlemen. Isabel Gillies. Let's play the Jimmy Reefer Cake tune of the week. What is it called, Matt?
Bleep, bleep, veep.
Bleep, bleep, veep.
Geordie Report listener Jack Dithard for his PayPal donation to alltherhypocrisy.com, and even more so for his collaboration on the following song. Midwestern a-hole who can herd the Republican sheep. I don't want this bleep bleep for veep. Indiana governor by the name of Mike Pence. For Donald Trump, I think this pick makes perfect sense. Don't send any oxygen to Mars for me. I didn't want this bleep bleep for veep. Dan Quayle spelled potato with an E. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. Right winging, bitter clinging, and proud to be. I didn't want this bleep bleep for veep. You know her. Sarah Palin fights literacy. Her offspring are proven to be abstinence free. I still hear his opinions on TV. I really hated this friggin' bleep bleep as veep. You know him, Dick Cheney loves the Halliburton Company. He shot me in the face and never said sorry. Where do thee find all these bleep bleeps for veep? I don't want any of these bleep bleeps for veep. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Excellent. Excellent. What's that song? I know what that song is. It's driving me crazy. Now I can't. Wait a second. That's La Poupée.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's just go to the fun half since he replaced La Poupée today. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920 is the number. Don't forget justcoffee.coop. Don't forget majorityreportkickback.com, where you can find our Amazon link or our jet.com link. Click on that, bookmark it. Always use that link. You can IM me. Folks, it's your membership that makes this show possible. If you don't want to deal with PayPal, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. And we have a new system that we're starting to move over. So we finally have the ability to get you off PayPal. If you want to get off PayPal, if you don't want PayPal, you can just sign up at majority.fm. If you have any ideas about what we should do next week in terms of our coverage, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We always want to hear from you. And see you in the fun half. I guess you're going to have to play it again. I don't know how we get out of here. That's funny. I was sitting there going, like, this song sounds so familiar to me. What the heck could it be? I like it. We'll see you, freebies, next week. See you members in a minute.